Hi, thanks. I wasn't expecting such nice words from Reese. It was so kind. Thank you, Reese. We used to play a lot of COD at his house. Thanks, team. Why don't you give the team a round of applause? Climbing over the obstacles with the sound and the mics and the things to deliver us great worship week after week. What a team. It is my absolute honour and privilege to be here tonight to share the word, and I'm going to do it from down here because I like to be with the people. But tonight, you know that over the last couple of weeks, we've been going through this series on tough texts of the Bible, and the central premise is that we take these scriptures from the Bible that often we look at, and they're complex, and they don't really make sense, so we just go over them, but we recognise that all scriptures God breathed, so there's a purpose for those scriptures. Now, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to jump in on the series because I feel like there are others more qualified and I don't want to risk heresy. So I just thought I might bypass that, topics like circumcision, childbirth and evil demon puppet giants, all that sort of stuff. If you don't know what I'm talking about, then please feel free to watch back on those messages. And next week's message is going to be ridiculous and also ridiculously good. But tonight, I'm happy to be a little placeholder, a little breather in the series. But tonight, I'm excited to bring this word because I have been thinking a lot about it over this last week and trying to figure out what God wants to say to his people. And I believe that it's very clear what he wants to encourage his church with. And so we're going to speak through a passage of scripture tonight. And I'm praying that that you'll just sense the presence of God through it all and be encouraged by what God is doing in your life. But I thought I'd start by giving some advice that I've learned in my life, in my time here on this earth. It's a strategy that I have actually for getting through difficult days. If you are like me, if you're having a bad day at work, you're having a bad day at uni, bad day at school, and you just need something to get you through it, often what I do is I think of food. Now, you don't get this without investment, but what I often think about if I'm at uni, if I'm at work and it's just, it's been a rubbish class, I'm getting annoying emails, I've got deadlines coming up, I'm thinking about dinner. That's what I'm doing. And this has happened for my whole life. In fact, on Friday, very busy day, everyone's at my office. It was a bit too stressful, but I went out to dinner. And let me tell you, I went and got beef cheeks, and it was served with a spoon. The meat's so tender, served with a spoon. Can I get an amen, church? Amen. And that was good for me because it got me through my day. It actually happened a lot as a child. I grew up with two older brothers, and we ate a lot, and we ate very quickly. And if you wanted a second serving, you did it fast. There was no rules, just get in and get it done. It was the same thing with that. I'd be at school, and I'd be thinking when I get home, I'm going to have some two-minute noodles. That's what I'm going to do. And I had far too many of them, I did. But I'd get home, and my brother had eaten my noodles, which I think is poor form. But it was fine for him to eat my ice cream, and so we'll deal with that. We'll deal with that and are dealing with that. But the premise here is often what I do in my day to get through something, I'd have something at the end of it. I'd have something at the end of it that I could draw my attention to, that I could put my eyes on, and it would remind me of something good that's coming. A lot of people actually do this with holidays. I've done it quite a lot. I like to put, if I know I've got a massive semester coming up, a cheeky little getaway at the end of it. I'm going to Hong Kong soon, I know, showing off, whatever. And while I'm over there, I've had so many people come up to me and like, are you nervous about the protests in Hong Kong? Are you kidding? Political protests, yum, yum, joining in. I actually want to go to the government house where they storm down the window. Get me in on that. Yeah, get me on a Chinese watch list, you know what I'm saying? I'm very excited to go to Hong Kong. But it's the same thing, massive semester, but I knew there's something good at the end of it. You've got to remember that line, aren't you? Political protests, yum, yum. Weren't expecting that at church. I'm excited to head over there, but through this semester, as things have been difficult, as things have been confronted, I'm reminding myself of something good that's coming at the end of it. And this is actually a really similar strategy to what we hear about in the scripture. It's actually from King David. And so tonight, what I'd love to do is take you through a short passage of scripture in Psalm 27, where we see this actually lived out. And we can apply this principle to what we're going through. So the scripture is going to come up on the screen, and this is what we're focusing on tonight. Psalm 27, verse 13 and 14. We can read it here. I would have lost heart, says King David, unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage. He shall strengthen your heart. Again, I say, wait on the Lord. This is the passage that I'll be speaking on tonight. And if you want a scripture, let's go with good stuff. That's what I'm going to call it. So the next time someone comes up, she's like, good stuff, mate. You can remember this. Remember this scripture. Because what we're going to see as we go through this scripture is God has good stuff for you in your life now, in your future, in who he is as a person, as our Lord, as our Savior, available to us through every situation and every circumstance. So before we jump in, why don't we pray? God, I just thank you for your presence that's here. I thank you for who you are. I thank you for your word that brings life, that brings joy, that brings liberty, brings freedom. We just bless your name. We ask that you're here with us tonight. Amen. Amen. So through this scripture, there's a lot that we can unpack. And I'd love to start at the start, which makes sense, where it says at the start, I would have lost heart. But unless I believed that I would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Now, a couple of weeks ago, I gave a message, and in that message, I was talking about another passage of scripture where the author says a similar thing. It's, but I remind myself of these things. I remind myself of what God is doing in my life. And I'll be honest with you, I actually, because they were so similar in such a short period of time, I felt a bit like I was cheating. So I put this message aside, and I started to think about other ones that I could do, but I couldn't get it out of my head. I couldn't get past this point, this central point, that if we are in circumstances that aren't ideal, if we are struggling, if we're in this time, this season where we're battling, where we can't get rest in our spirit, where perhaps there's sickness, financial issues, perhaps we're going through something with our family and we're in this struggle, but we know God's with us, if that's the season that we're in, there's something we can do about it. Let's remind ourselves of the goodness of God. And that was the central point of my last message, and it's the first point here, and I couldn't get it out of my head. So maybe what God's trying to say to you tonight, to this church, to these people, is that you might be in a situation, a season, a circumstance where you can't seem to get through it yet, where you're frustrated, you can't find the job, you can't sell the house, you can't get that promotion, there's always sickness around, you're struggling with relationships. Then let me tell you, let me remind you tonight, that if you set your eyes on the goodness of God, your situation won't be it won't be eternal, it will be temporal. Your circumstances will change because the promises of God are true. The promises of God are true and they're directed to you. And that's the first point that I wanted to draw out tonight. That in this situation, David's writing this psalm. And if we look at the life of David, it's really incredible because we so often recall him as this hero of scripture. He's known as a man after God's own heart. We talk about you know, how incredible he was at worship and the fact that he had faith in God, believed in his promise with Goliath. But the scripture is very detailed about how difficult his life was as well. He went through some incredible circumstances, where he's losing friends and family members, where someone he trusted is trying to kill him. He's trying to hide in caves so that he could keep his life because he's believing in the promise of God. Time and time again, David's actually thrown into these situations that are remarkably difficult. But what we see through the psalm in particular is that he reminds himself of God. What he knows isn't just the fact that he's going to get through the circumstance, but he knows that he's getting through the circumstance because God's with him. And because God's on the other side, and because God gives him strength, and because God sustains him, even in these circumstances which are so confronting and so challenging, David knows what to do. And I'm so glad that it's written in the scripture because we can apply the same principle. As I said earlier with the food, it often gets me through a tough day. What David's saying here is in this season of life where I'm confronted and I'm challenged, I can remind myself of the goodness of God. That I can remind myself of what's coming. I can remind myself of the new season ahead. I can remind myself that my circumstance is temporal, but my God and his promises are eternal. And that's what David's reminding himself of there. But what exactly is he reminding himself of in the scripture? He's saying that I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And this is a beautiful, beautiful passage. In fact, I'll come to that. When we talk about the goodness of God, it's talking more, not just about an action or activity. It's not about being good. It's about where this goodness comes from. The scripture, when it's used, this term, when it's used in the Old Testament, it's actually referring to God in his goodness. It's his character. It's him being good. It's him by his nature being good. What David's showing us, it's not just the act of what God does for us. It's who God is. As he is as our God, as our Lord, as our Savior, he is good. He is by his nature good. And so when we know him, he can't help but be good toward us. It's part of who he is. And what we see here in this scripture is that the goodness of God will be seen in the land of the living. The goodness of God will be seen in the land of the living. And what that means is we're actually going to witness the goodness of God manifest. We're not just going to think about it as a theory, as an idea, as a characteristic that God is good in himself, which he is. But we're actually going to see the goodness of God. We're going to be able to see it in our life. And see, this is something that during the 21 Days of Breakthrough and a couple of the prayer meetings we had around it, that was the thing that I couldn't get out of my head, that we're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We're going to see the goodness of God in the land of the living. And I just couldn't get it out of my head. I was up the back during one of the prayer meetings and I said it for probably like 20 minutes because it was the only thing I could think of. And it wasn't just for me. It was for our house. It was for our church. And I'm happy and confident to say I can say that prophetically because it's a promise of God. It's embedded in his word and in his character and in his nature that we will see the goodness of God in the land of the living. We will see the goodness of God in this house, in your family, in your future. You can see the goodness of God. But what I love about this, there's something so cool in this scripture because that verb there, to see, in the original Hebrew actually has a bit of an inference to it, that it's not just to see. More accurately, it's to see and enjoy. To see and enjoy. I would have lost heart had I not believed that I would both see and enjoy the goodness of God in the land of the living. So often, we love the Christianity that gives us that future and that hope in the sense that we know where our soul is going. We know that our eternity is secure in God. But we cheapen our experience on earth if we don't believe that he wants to show us himself now. Our hope is secure. Our eternity is secure. That's not changing because the sacrifice of Jesus was done once for all. It's eternal. It's done. It's written in his blood. It is done. But we miss out. We cheapen the experience for ourselves if we refuse to believe that his goodness is for us today. This scripture is so real. It is so alive to tell us that we can see and enjoy the goodness of God now in the land of the living. I would have lost heart unless I believed that I would see and I would enjoy the goodness of God in the land of the living. This is a promise that he gives us. It's a promise that he gave to David. It's a promise that got David through those incredible challenges that he faced time and time again because he believed that he would see the goodness of God in the land of the living. Verse 14 of this passage is really encouraging as well. It says, "Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, for he shall strengthen your heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord." It's a really powerful scripture. When we talk about this idea of waiting on the Lord, it can turn into this theological discussion. And I really want to simplify it for us tonight. When we look through the book of Psalms, every time that phrase waiting on the Lord is referred, there's a couple of characteristics that are usually attached to it. And there's a few references in the book of Psalms about waiting for the purpose of hope. You're waiting and hoping in the Lord for his deliverance, for his breakthrough, for his triumph. Waiting and hoping on the Lord. We also see references to waiting and patience, that perhaps you haven't seen what God is to do yet, but you're patiently waiting that he will deliver. And the other reference is also to rest. That when you wait on God, you can rest in him, rest in who he is, and find yourself in his presence. So when we talk about waiting on God, there's a lot of different ways that we can look at it. But tonight, we are going to wait on the Lord. The fact that you've come here and you've entered into praise, into worship, that's you waiting on the Lord. It's positioning yourself in his presence so you can find that hope, that you can find that patience, that you can see God move, that you can have rest for your heart and for your soul. Wait, I say, on the Lord. But one thing that's really incredible about this verse in particular is the way that it's written. This is actually David talking to himself. This isn't David declaring it over the nation. It's not David declaring it over his family. This is David saying to himself, all right, mate, wait on the Lord. Come on, David, wait on the Lord. Again, I say wait on the Lord. Have courage. God's going to strengthen your heart. Wait on the Lord. This is huge because it's so real for you and for I tonight. What David demonstrates in this scripture is there will be times where you need to remind yourself, remind your soul, remind your spirit to have courage and take strength from God. And I think I can share about that for a couple minutes personally. And because it's a nice little story, I'm going to sit up on the stage. So casual and so engaging. Now, some of you may not know, but I'm in the process of completing my PhD, which, don't clap, no, it just means I really love to read. No. when I started it, it was really interesting because the first thing these professors would say to me is that you do know that 7 out of 10 people who start one won't finish it. Oh, that's good. And then I'd talk to another one. He's like, well, my last PhD student, well, you know, we found a spelling mistake on his first page and then he fled. He fled to the woods. He lived in Springbrook for 6 months and didn't talk to him for a while. But, you know, he got there in the end, didn't he? What are we doing here? Are you telling me that I'm going to go and run into the forest? Like, what are you trying to say? Why are you saying this to me? But what they were trying to do is prepare me for the fact that it is actually a very difficult process, which I learnt doing it. And there were several times in the process where I genuinely did struggle through it. It's a very internal thing. You can feel very secluded. There's a lot of pressure. And you're also doing a lot in your life outside of it. And so that doesn't slow down, but the expectation is that you'll finish it. And sometimes it just gets a bit overwhelming. Thankfully, I didn't have a major breakdown, apart from that one time that I went to a hotel and I shaved my hair. I had a very Britney 07 moment. And before you start, I know that it wouldn't have taken long. I get it. But the problem here was the fact that it was an electric razor and it ran out of battery. I thought it was done until I was in an IGA and I saw the back of my head in a TV screen. I looked like I'd escaped from some sort of asylum, genuinely. I'd been walking around in public for 2 hours looking like that. Not good, but we got that fixed the next day. But that might give an indication of that time. There was another time, though, when everything was due. I wasn't fine. I wasn't sleeping properly. It was difficult when I'm at home. I just felt really on edge all the time. I had all these papers that I had to mark that were due. I had a deadline that I had to reach. And I'd just come to church and it was just so much going on. And I found myself in worship trying really hard to engage in worship. And I couldn't. I was trying so hard to do all of the right things to try and make myself feel that relief. And I just couldn't get there. And I tried so hard to get things out of the Word. But it was so difficult for me to figure out what was going on. I was just so overwhelmed. And what happened was I went out after church, grabbed some dinner. And I was in the car. And I played this one song. And as I started playing it, I found myself just saying, God, I need you. I need you. I don't know how I'm going to do this unless you're with me. That was a moment where I did what David did in this scripture. I said to myself, Scott, wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. Wait on the Lord. I had to get myself out of my circumstance, out of my own headspace, out of my own thinking. I had to get myself out of my situation and say to myself, Scott, wait on the Lord. And it happened in a car. I turned on that song, and as I started worshiping, I felt his presence. I felt relief. I felt stress come off me. I felt peace. I felt God say to me, you can do this. You're almost there. You're almost there, which is the second part of this verse. David said to himself, take courage. But then after that is something so profound. God shall strengthen your heart. God shall strengthen your heart. I couldn't find my strength in that circumstance through what I was doing. I couldn't find strength in the work that I was doing. I even struggled to find strength in church because I came to church not looking at God. I came to church looking at church. But what we see here is God gave me a strength that I couldn't have gotten anywhere else. God strengthened my heart when I couldn't find strength in myself, when I couldn't find strength in my purpose, in my job, in my family, my friends. I couldn't find it there, but I found it in God. And it came to me because I was waiting on Him. It came because I'd positioned myself in a place where I could be with Him, where I could see Him move, where I could see His goodness, where I could experience His presence. It's because I found myself in the presence of God. When we look through this scripture, it's such an encouragement to us because it's so real. It's so real. Some of you tomorrow will go to work and you'll be confronted by people you don't like working with, a boss that gives you rubbish jobs. Maybe there's issues with your pay. Maybe you've been trying for a promotion for a while, it's not happening. Some of you will go back to uni and you'll really struggle to see what's going on in the course and assessments and deadlines, the stress, the pressure of life, all of that. Some of you go home and maybe there's a family member you're not on great terms with at the moment and there's that tension in the house. What David's writing here isn't just a beautiful scripture. It's not just poetry. It's not just a quote. It's real life. When you're confronted by a circumstance that you know you're going to get through, remind yourself of the goodness of God, that you're going to see it and enjoy it in the land of the living, and tell your spirit, tell your soul, tell your heart, tell your mind, tell yourself to wait on the Lord. Have courage when you're with Him, because when you're with Him, He will strengthen your heart. Again, David says, wait on the Lord. The scripture will change your life because it's the promise of God that you will see and enjoy His goodness today. So what does it look like to wait on the Lord? I intentionally tonight wanted to make sure that the message was a bit shorter because we're going to actually worship in a second so that we can together wait on the Lord. So that before we go out, before we go and grab dinner, before we catch up in our shows or whatever we're doing tonight, we can actually take this moment to have the presence and the Spirit of God strengthen our hearts. So what does it look like then to wait on the Lord? It's actually one of my favorite scriptures, and it's earlier in this chapter, and I'll read it for you now. In Psalm 27, I'll read from verse 4. It says, "One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in His temple, for in the time of trouble He shall hide me in His pavilion, in the secret place of His tabernacle He shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock, and now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore, I will offer sacrifices of joy in His tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy on me, answer me. When you said, seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek." What does it look like to wait on the Lord? That is a beautiful picture of what it looks like to wait on the Lord. To find yourself in His presence. To find yourself somewhere where you know God can speak to you. To sing songs of praise. To glorify God for His goodness. To glorify God for His work in your life. To praise Him. To inquire of His temple. That's to get to know Him. It's to find out about Him. When we read His word, when we ask Him questions in prayer, that's us finding out, inquiring of the Lord, that you dwell in His presence, that you get close to Him, that when you're in that time of worship, that you're intimate with Him. It means that He hides you in His presence, in that shadow of His wing, that you can find Him there, that He sets your head above the enemies, that you can see beyond what your current circumstance is, and you remind yourself of the future that you have of God. What does it mean to wait on Him? It means to be with Him. It means to be with Him, whatever the circumstance might look like. It means that you're with Him. And when you're with Him, when you're in His presence, you realize that nothing else matters. You realize when you're actually genuinely in His presence that the circumstances don't matter. You realize that you will find a job. You will get that pay rise. Your relationship will be restored. You realize that you will see healing. You realize that you will have freedom. You realize that those mental health issues, they will be broken in your life. You realize that when you're in the presence of God, because when you wait on Him, He strengthens your heart. Tonight, I know that there are people here who are going through a circumstance and you're struggling to see a way out. Well, tonight, if you wait on the Lord, he will give you strength. The strength in your heart to know that you will see his goodness in your land. I love this scripture so much because it's so real. And that's why tonight, I would love if we could just take a few moments to wait on him together. So the team's going to come out and they're going to prep. And tonight, what I would love is that we just worship him together. For you, you might want to find a bit of space. You might want to move a couple of seats down so that you can just put your attention fully on God. And if you don't know what to do in this time, you can sing along. You can pause in silence and just think about God. You can start to pray. You can start to thank him for what he's done. You can start to ask those questions of God. You can start to put before him your requests. In this time, whatever it is that you're going through, you do what you need to do to put yourself in a position to meet with God. He knows your circumstance. He knows your need. He knows your heart. He knows what you're feeling right now toward him. What he wants more than anything right now is to be with you. So tonight, let's wait on the Lord and let's see him strengthen our hearts. Let's see his goodness in the land of the living. Why don't you stand tonight, church? Prepare your heart tonight. Spend a few moments with him. Let's pray. Father God, right now, in this place, we set aside our circumstance, our distraction, the things we have to do at work tomorrow. We set aside the things we've got to do when we get home. Because right now, our priority is to be with you. Our priority right now is to be with you. Lord, in this time of worship, we believe in what your scripture says, that you will strengthen our hearts by the power of your Spirit. We thank you for change. We thank you for life. We thank you for joy. We thank you for freedom. We thank you for love. Meet us here, we pray in Jesus' name.